Baseball PhD podcast segment to remember, 2010.
This next interview comes from episode 2, Grapefruit League.
Let's listen as Nick Gandy, director of communications for the Florida Sports Foundation, shares his views on how to maximize your Grapefruit League vacation. I'm here right now with Nick Gandy. Nick Gandy, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Ed. We're another day in sunny Florida today. A little chilly in North Florida, but it's expected sometimes.
Well, up here in beautiful Cleveland, we have a dusting of snow. So this is why Florida exists, so that the snowbirds can come see you this time of the year. But
And we welcome them.
Good, good. Nick, I understand you're the director of communications for the Florida Sports Foundation.
That's correct, Ed, yes.
And what is the Florida Sports Foundation?
The Florida Sports Foundation is the official sports promotion and development organization for the state of Florida, and we promote several different sporting opportunities as sports tourism destinations here in Florida, those being golf, fishing and boating, and spring training baseball.
And right now we're getting ready to have spring training baseball. Let's talk about that for a bit. The history of spring training goes back quite a few years.
Yes, it's gone. The first recorded team to come to Florida was the Washington Senators in 1888 to try and work out the bugs of the off season, and they came to Jacksonville, but it wasn't until the mid, about 1912, 1914, when a gentleman in St. Petersburg made the attempt to lure some teams down to the St. Petersburg area for an actual spring training season, and it's taken off since then, and it's been continuous every year in Florida since 1912, with the exception of the years during World War II when there were travel restrictions placed on the teams from 1942 to 1946. So it has been over 100 years that there has been a history of spring training baseball in Florida.
It's my understanding that you could really look at the history of spring training into three eras. Era one is before World War II. Then during World War II, Major League Baseball did put a restriction on how far teams could go. And if my memory serves me correctly, you couldn't conduct spring training north or south of the Ohio or Potomac rivers, and it had to be east of the Mississippi. So that was an artificial period of a couple years where people didn't go down to Florida.
Not for baseball. I'm sure they may have come for other reasons, but there was no baseball being played here during those years.
And then since World War II, the Grapefruit League has always been very, very popular for major league teams.
Yes, and there have been a few teams that have held their spring training in Florida ever since that time. The Detroit Tigers are the team with the longest continuous history in Florida, dating back prior to World War II, and then they picked up again after World War II as well. And the Philadelphia Phillies have been in Clearwater since after World War II as well, with the Tigers being in Lakeland since that time.
Now, how many major league teams participate in the Grapefruit League today?
Currently, there are 15 teams. There has been as many as 22 in various locations around Florida. But for the 2010 season, there will be 15 teams playing in 14 different locations. The St. Louis Cardinals and Florida Marlins share a site in Jupiter, Florida, Roger Dean Stadium.
Your foundation puts out a spring training guide each year.
Yes, we do, and it's very popular with Florida spring training fans. It's a pocket-sized guide, about the size of a mailing envelope, that has schedules of all the teams that play in Florida, schedules, ticket prices, how you can purchase tickets, directions to the stadium, a little bit of history about each team and their community in Florida. And I get so many compliments, and I'm getting probably 20 to 30 emails a day of people requesting this guide, and it has proven very popular over the 10 years I've been working at the Florida Sports Foundation. And you can request it from a couple of different websites, flasports.com or floridagrapefruitleague.com, and it's keeping me very busy these days.
What advice would you give any of the snowbirds up north on coming and visiting spring training in Florida for this spring?
The first thing I always tell people about going to spring training games is the 1 o'clock start time can really make you miserable after a day at the park, because sometimes in March, with the temperatures being a little cooler than normal, they neglect to bring their sunscreen. Just because the temperature is a little cooler doesn't mean the sun is at full strength. So remember to bring your sunscreen, for one thing. And the rest of it is just to sit back and enjoy a wonderful afternoon of baseball at a Florida spring training location. The 1 o'clock start times lend for a very relaxing afternoon. The gates open usually an hour and a half to 2 hours prior to the first pitch, so about 11:30, if people are interested in getting down close to the field and watching players warm up and possibly getting a few autographs. That's a question that I'm asked a lot. What's the best way to get autographs from players? And that's basically just get there early, right after the gates open, and the 2 hours goes by really quick on a beautiful Florida March day. And other than that, after the game, games are usually over about 4 o'clock. Take your time getting out of the park, and you've got plenty of time to sit back, and if you're visiting Florida, maybe go to the pool at your hotel and then have a nice leisurely dinner. And maybe if you're on a beachside community, go out to the beach, watch the sunset.
Do you have a favorite Grapefruit League spring training location?
I've been to just about all of them, and the one that impresses me the most is the Phillies' new stadium in Clearwater. I love that place, Bright House Field in Clearwater. It opened in 2004, and it's a wonderful park. You can completely circle the field without ever missing any part of the action. It has a sidewalk that goes out in the outfield, and there's berm seating out in the outfield. There's a Frenchie's Bar, which is a local establishment from there in Clearwater, where you can sit and have food and drink, and there's things for kids to do. They have a little playground in the left field corner. I have been traveling with my two younger sons the last few years, and they enjoy that. And they have Philly cheesesteaks there and a wide assortment of beers to purchase. It's the newest place in Florida and one of the nicer ones. And where the Rays are playing now in Port Charlotte has the same kind of amenities there, a boardwalk that encircles the field out in the outfield, and a bar and Tiki Village kind of place out there. As far as older parks go, the Joker Marchant Stadium in Lakeland has the same kind of feel to it. A smaller park is Osceola County Stadium in Kissimmee, where the Astros play. And, there's every park has its own different, unique setting to it. And they try to make the experience unique.
Now, the Braves, it's my understanding, do they practice or do they have spring training close to Disney World?
They are actually on the Disney complex. They play at what had been called Disney's Wide World of Sports complex. And besides the Braves' annual spring training there, they have something going on that sports complex every day, whether it be a youth or amateur sports competition. They had the Pop Warner Super Bowl Championship series there. There was a basketball tournament there with Florida State University. University back in Thanksgiving, where and that's here in Tallahassee, where our office is. There's all sorts of AAU competitions there, and yes, the Braves do train there right at Disney. So
that's got to be a pretty sexy venue to go and see.
The staff are Disney cast members, as they call themselves.
Right.
So
right.
You will not, everybody will greet you with a smile and go out of their way to help you. It's a very nice experience there. And it's one of the larger venues in the Florida Grapefruit League. It's a double-deck stadium, but the most, I think their capacity is probably about 12,000. And, you know, on a nice Saturday afternoon game, they easily put 10 to 12,000 people in there in the permanent seats, and then some grass berm seating they have down the third base line and left field area.
Do you have to buy a ticket to Disney World in order to access the field?
No, you don't. It's a separate entrance for the baseball games, just to come up. And the one thing, a very unique thing about the Braves games in the Disney complex is the parking is free. It's the only place in the Florida Grapefruit League where it's free parking. There are plenty of places to purchase memorabilia and novelty items, and there's even a sports bar across the way from the stadium where the Braves play, so you can go get there early, go over and have something to eat and drink at the sports bar, which is right across the way. I believe it's a Champions or something to that effect, maybe ESPN Sports Zone.
What's the future of the Grapefruit League? Is there any talk of adding some teams in the future?
Yes, that's something that we would like to have happen. We did an economic impact survey that showed over $750 million to the state of Florida last year. So we have turned some heads in the Florida legislature and on the local level to help those communities realize that, you know, they do have an economic engine there with spring training baseball. And as leases are expiring in Florida, we will do everything we have to retain those teams and convince them to stay in Florida. And if there are other teams that are willing to listen, like the Chicago Cubs just did, and, you know, try and convince them that Florida is a place to play for them, like a group of people just did down in Naples. Unfortunately, there is an initial agreement that the Cubs will return to Mesa, Arizona. But I think there are a lot more opportunities for visitors to the state for spring training baseball to do a lot of different things in Florida, whereas you don't have the beautiful Gulf beaches in Arizona and the Atlantic as well.
Right. Well, thank you very, very much for your time. My pledge to you is I have got to take my family to beautiful, sunny Florida and go up both the Atlantic and the Gulf Coasts and see a bunch of baseball, because every time I'm in Florida, you have a wonderful state.
I always tell people that if they're looking for a place to kind of make a headquarters or a base, one of the easiest places to do that is in the Tampa Bay area, because you can draw a circle around about a 50-mile radius from that area, and there's about six teams in that radius, and each of the communities and teams has something different going on there. And if you branch out even further, you find even more unique opportunities as well.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you very much for your time. Have a successful Grapefruit League this year, Nick.
Thank you, Ed, for the opportunity. I sure appreciate it.
This has been a Baseball PhD production. Copyright 2010.